listening to Beyond the Veil, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
The following live broadcast may not be suitable for all ages. The views expressed in this show are solely those of the individual providing them and do not represent the opinion of the station, website, or any affiliated partners. Audience discretion is advised.
Good evening, everyone. It is 4th of September 2014, and you are now listening to the live recording of episode 106 of Beyond the Veil, The Secret World, the most awesome and amazing game ever. Right?
Really? We're doing this now?
Uh-huh. The live recording on episode something, really?
Uh-huh.
This is what happens when I step down and you step up?
Uh-huh.
You, like, totally, like, wreck my show and make it, like, stuff and stuff.
And stuff?
Yeah, like, well, like, I'm not sure if I'm okay with these changes. Like, there's dates now? Like, wow, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yes, this is the episode 106, and...
Don't believe her, it's lies!
Yes,
it this is Beyond the Fail.
We're not in Holland, though, where B is pronounced F. All right, so as you've heard, Xander is here with me, and as always, he's not shy about expressing his opinion.
I'm never shy. For like, you know, 40 minutes, we were talking about sperm on Tribbles of Ecstasy last week, and last night we spent like 20 minutes talking about Mr. Manhattan in the Watchmen, on the Watchmen movie with his...
Yeah,
Papa Smurf hanging out.
Yep, we get the picture. You're not shy. But everyone who's been listening to the show knows that already, my dear. So, yes, we have Xander. How are you tonight, Xander, apart from very talkative? I didn't feed you any Reese's Pieces today, though.
No, but just saying that little quick blurb about what I've been doing the last two episodes, I've suddenly realized that I talk about male genitalia way too much.
And somehow I'm imagining Gigabyte nodding his head, going like, yep.
You read my mind, Andita.
How are you doing today, Gigabyte?
I'm not doing too bad. I'm a little bit tired. I've just gotten back today from a few days off, a few days away. So I'm a little bit tired, but doing well.
Well, we'll keep it short and sweet for you.
That's what we say every episode,
seriously. Yeah, I know. We end up talking and talking and talking. But this is a talk show, so we basically go where the discussion takes us.
Like popcorn farts in the wind.
Until we get completely tired, and then we realize, crap, we've been talking for like over 2 hours. Faye's going to kill us, because he'll have tons of editing to do. So yeah, then we kind of just say, okay, that's it. And tonight we have a new cast member join us.
New guy.
Yes.
New guy. I want a pop. No, I want a coffee. No, I want a
you
truffle.
You can't have coffee at this time of night. No. Remember what you told me today?
I know. It makes me stay up to the wee hours of the morning nuking servers.
Yes. The new guy we're talking about is Dewdrops. Hi, Dewdrops.
Hey, what's up?
Don't put no drops in my truffle though.
God, if you're wondering, it's short for Mountain Dew. Good as the last drop.
Ah! Oh.
Hey, I'll bet you thought it was moonshine.
No.
Cool. So you're actually a relatively new player between all of us to Secret World. How long have you been playing?
I started shortly after launch and played about 4 months. Didn't really get into any active Cabal. Without the activity, I left until about 2 months ago. Maybe three, I think.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So you obviously liked the game because you came back to it.
Yep. Couldn't get it out of my head. It was just too much stuff. Too much stuff undone.
Yes, there's just way too many things to do. And guess what? There's crap ton of stuff coming our way in shape of various missions and weapons and raids and lairs and more missions, and it's just going to be pure awesomeness. And you guys know how we know? Well, there was that Twitch live stream last week Friday, the one that Sesmer and Tomium do every few weeks. And Sesmer actually had Joel Bylos on the stream. And he did say that he was
taking it to the stream. taking it to the stream.
So apparently he was visiting the dev team in Durham, North Carolina, where they actually created, the entire dev team sat down and they created a roadmap for the next few issues. So now they know.
Didn't they already do that though? It's well, like every time it goes there, they create a new roadmap.
They do, but I do suspect that they don't create, you know, one that's going to span like the next six.
Timelines.
Probably, because plans usually change based on the availability of their staff and stuff like that. So now with the summer holidays over, everyone's back to work. And it was like, okay, we're going to hit the road. What's it? What's the expression? Hit the road running?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yes, while they already know what will be coming out and when, we don't. Because they don't want to tell us. They want to keep it a surprise. It's like, shh, it's a secret.
Don't tell anyone.
No. They don't want to tell us. Yes. So while actually on the live stream, he introduced us to his little unicorn fetus pet called Willy McFetus. Did you guys see the live stream?
Yes.
Unfortunately, I missed it because I've been away for a few days. So I actually saw it on my iPhone, or saw like a message come up on my iPhone about it. I was like, oh crap, I'm gonna miss it. Never mind. So no, I haven't seen it myself actually.
It's on the show notes. It's linked there, so you can check it out. I know you haven't had the time, so that's okay.
No.
Yeah. But yeah, so apparently a little tidbit of information that he did say while, you know, talking about his unicorn fetus pet, the poor-looking Willy McFetus that Sesmer wanted to put a blanket on because he looked cold. Bylos actually mentioned that initially they had considered having fetuses as channels for blood magic. And then they decided it was probably a bit too controversial. So they kind of scrapped that idea.
I think he was making a joke. You know, I'm just putting that out there. I think he was making a joke. I don't think he's literal about that.
I don't think so. I think he was literal. Literal. It's just blood magic and he would, you know, hello.
Yeah, but those pro-life groups would just go apeshit.
I know, hence they decided it was probably a bit too controversial.
They don't laugh at Funcom.
Hi, welcome to the secret world where your fetus is your channel to great magic. So come on, the more fetuses you have, if you have more than one fetus, is it like feti?
No, I don't think
or
it would
feces.
Be... No, pieces is a different god.
Really?
No, I think they would actually work it into the background of, you know, blood magic weapons and how they channel anima and, you know, how they work and why and stuff like that. So
hi,
it would
babe.
Be...
Sorry, I just got home from work. I have to go and pick up a fetus. Do you want an extra one? Like,
oh,
you know...
God. Okay, enough. Let's get off the subject.
I think he was being sarcastic in a joke. I really don't think... go fast.
Well, I'll tell you what. If we ever get a chance to ask him about it, we will.
you know he'll say, he'll keep going on about it. I know he will.
So, okay, well, that was, yes, a bit of information that was a bit like, what? There was some information that was released that I'm pretty sure whoever was on the live stream at the very end of it was like, yes, guess what? We actually got to fly. Well, he flew over the wall using his big GM powers. And we actually got to see what's behind the quarantine wall in
what's
Kaidan.
What's behind the veil?
Beyond the wall.
Beyond the veil. Seriously,
yes,
there's a cue
intended.
For your own show.
Yes, so we basically got to see a very different landscape to the massive skyscrapers we saw in Tokyo until now. We saw like the housing, little houses, which apparently are Orochi tenements, which is basically where Orochi employees live. And you'd think they'd be paid quite a bit, or at least, you know, decently, but not according to the tenements that we saw. And, apparently they're, at least the vast majority of them, are dead.
Yay! Orochi dead.
So we got to see a little
the
bit
only
of
good Orochi is a dead Orochi.
Man, no one said that working for Orochi was a
glamorous job.
A secure job.
Yeah,
but what about Dragon?
You never know with dragons, right?
Well, yeah, that's true.
Who knows?
They'd be happy if someone gave them a house, and they'd just be as happy if someone took it away.
I think he just needs another teddy bear.
Yeah, so we got to see the Happy Smiles kindergarten and the docks area as well.
I'm creeped out.
By what?
The kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
You know that's gonna... Ooh, can I tell the really interesting one after?
Go for it.
No, it's later on.
Okay.
I just had a random brain fart.
Yeah, there's also a train station there as well. The entire area will probably be coming with issue 10 because we know that issue 11 is basically Orochi Tower. Okay, so we're probably climbing up the stairs or maybe taking lifts or whatnot. And issue 11, we know that is going to be all group content. What is coming out before actual issue 10 are the side stories, and they should be coming out soon. Part of them has already been on Test Lab servers for 2 weeks now, maybe even more. And this mission pack is going to be called The Last Pagan. And if you remember that little dude that's sitting in Gimpachi Park on the tree that has the Agartha portal, his name is Ricky Pagan. So, you know, he's probably going to be a prominent character or NPC during these side stories. And one bit of information was that in one of these missions, we'll actually get to take a mask, just like the one that Inbeta has, and take it on a mission with us. So, you know, if you know a little bit of info behind the mask and what it does, it should prove to be a very interesting mission.
I think you're going to go talk to demons.
That would be quite interesting.
Because I think that's why you need the mask. When he said, you know, you need the mask, I think because you need a translator. He originally, at first, he said you're going to take Inbeta's mask, and then he said no, a version of his mask. So a version of his mask is language. So maybe probably taking the mask to go talk to Jesus. Yeah. Oh, I totally said that, didn't I? going to talk to demons.
Now that would be awesome.
What, Jesus or demons?
either.
Okay.
So, yeah, that Mishupak side stories pack should be coming out very soon. Initially, when we talked about it, Galactrix told us about it, I think, 2 weeks ago when it hit the test live servers. We did suggest that based on the readiness of content that was on test live server, that the entire mission pack might be coming out in about 2 weeks' time, around about mid-September. So we'll see if our number crunching has been a success and if we hit the right mark with that. We'd love for it to get sooner, as always. New content, yay! Two thumbs up.
It's going to launch September 9th.
9th? Why?
Mm-hmm. I know this for a fact. It's going to be September 9th.
He's so winging this one.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, it's fact. You know, whenever a game thing comes out for your game, an update for your game, it's usually tied to other games. And what is the game of the year coming out September 9th? Destiny.
Oh,
Destiny. I heard that. Oh,
crud.
Yeah, Destiny's being released September 9th, so I could see this being released September 9th. I'm just throwing it out there. Usually, if WoW drop something, SWTOR or Star Trek Online or WoW or another MMO entity will drop something at the same time so they don't have too many people wandering.
Yeah, in relation to that, they were talking on another forum. They did a piece on the Secret World. I think it was the MMORPG.com, past, present, and future. Reading the comments, they were saying that initially the launch date for the Secret World was off, in their opinion, and that that's why it didn't do as well, because it launched just as the summer started, summer holidays. So most of the people, most of the gamers were out and about, holidays and, family time and whatnot. So they actually missed the mark right off the bat with the release date. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I'd go with that. Well, that didn't advertise it. Like,
yeah, for some reason.
If you were in the know, you knew. And if you weren't in the know, then you didn't know. So for those of you who didn't know, WTF.
Yeah, I right back at you. Okay, going back on what was discussed during the live stream, we got to know a little bit more on issue 10. I'm going backwards, aren't I?
Disgusted on the live stream.
Did I say that? Sorry.
Live stream is not disgusting, it's disgusted.
My apologies. So one of the things that was discussed was also bits and pieces about issue 10. And the community was told that one of the issue 10 missions will actually introduce us to one of the Saeed's compatriots, another member of the kingdom who works with Saeed. And that was mentioned in relation to a question about whether or not we will actually see other NPCs, other characters from the Secret World that we have already seen before. Cassandra was named, Octavian was named, and while Bylos has said that as long as he's in charge, that Cassandra will definitely be back 100%, but he did say that Octavian is boring.
Didn't he say that there's going to be an issue where we go back to Kingsmith? That we're going to go through all the Kingsmith NPCs again?
Yes.
It's talking about that, yeah.
We already know that there's going to be everybody on the Solomon Islands will be visited again.
Yeah. The thing that I'm interested in, this is the thing that I wanted to bring up. The thing that I'm interested in is the Love Hotel
because, you know, he said there's going to be nudity in the love hotel. So you would think that would be like normal in a love hotel, but this is the secret world. So I'm thinking, you know, we're going to have a couple, you know, sea witches or drow or something. Nipples is probably going to show up in there. And then maybe the Hoth mother or whatever.
Mucho big humongous nipples.
Yeah. Mega nipples. She's like the nippler. But he said, yeah, there's going to be nudity. He also told us where the next... this is what I wanted to talk about, really. He also told us where the next auxiliary weapon is going to be coming from.
Well, yeah, he did say that he rode a long and extensive mission during which we'll get the new auxiliary weapon. And that mission actually takes place in the Love Hotel. So, you know, everybody started saying, you know, what kind of weapon is it going to be? Started giving out different...
Does it vibrate?
Buzzy yeah. handcuffs?
No. He said...
It has three speeds.
He said...
Well, actually, he thought that was suggested. And he said it... No, that would just be too simplistic of us.
It might be a little bit too easy, I suppose.
It's going
be
to be
expected.
It's going to be something that's found in a love hotel in everyday use, but it's not what you expect. So now, what do you find in a love hotel that you can carry around with you and blow shit up with? Well, okay, it's magic. What else can you find? What?
I know.
What?
Cupid's arrow, maybe? Crossbow?
Weak.
Laser you find lipstick.
What's that?
He did say. What did you say?
Laser lipstick.
Actually, lipstick makeup wouldn't be. Lipstick is there.
Well, the thing is, he did say that the way that you actually get this auxiliary weapon is probably more interesting that. Than the actual weapon itself. And as Insane pointed out in the chat, he did say that it is going to be a scintillating.
What does that mean?
Like shiny, I think?
No, scintillating, yeah, kind of a shiny.
Oh my god, you're going to have hooker platform shoes. You know, like the hooker uniform shoes. You know what I mean by the hooker uniform shoes? You know, like,
yeah.
Like in every porn you see, she's wearing a see-through heels with a platform. That's what it is. You're going to have to run around with platform shoes on, even guys, to cast this auxiliary weapon.
Yeah, he did say, and I'll quote him, "Think about the kind of things you might find in abundance in a love hotel that are not necessarily a sex object." He did actually tell us that this particular weapon is also used as a weapon in some fantasy games as well. So, you know, that's why I kept thinking. There was also someone made a certain comment regarding crossbows on the forums. I don't remember where, when, or, you know, who made it in relation to what. But his reply was somewhat interesting. He didn't deny, he didn't confirm, you know, but I think he actually put it that way. His answer was like, interesting. So that's what made me think, you know, well, you know, bow and arrow. People have been talking about that for a long time. He kept saying no, no, no. So I could be completely, you know...
I'm thinking about these love hotels, and I can't fathom where a bow and an arrow would be, even in everyday use, because this is what he said, everyday use item that's in a love hotel. I couldn't see a love hotel being in business very long if they could randomly start running around shooting people with arrows.
Cupid shoots you with an arrow?
Yeah, I know, but what would that have to do with magic?
I don't know. How about a pole? It's then, used in some fantasy games as a weapon.
That's true.
Staff.
But again, what does it have to do with the love hotel?
Exactly.
Hello, poles.
How kinky can it be?
Stripper pole?
Not necessarily a sex object.
I'll say
that
this is Funcom. I don't think we want to know how kinky they can get.
True enough. We've all seen what they did with Age of Conan.
They said no. They said no vibrators, but didn't say anything about butt plugs.
Yeah. Hello Kitty.
It's gonna be furry handcuffs.
Oh my god, the Hello Kitty dildo from episode what? Freaking, I don't know, Beyond the Veil.
Blue.
52.
That shall never be forgotten.
Yes.
Cannot be unseen.
Yes.
So yeah, there's plenty of, guesses that are going to be going around in the community based on what he had said. I guess we're going to be, you know, seeing it hopefully fairly soon.
Oh my god, wouldn't it be funny if it was a vacuum cleaner? Running around with a vacuum cleaner from the Love Hotel.
Might be a broom, actually, thinking about it.
It is, yeah. It is a magic, you know. I don't know.
Insane
if it was
angel.
Like ranged or something, fan insane says.
Well, Halloween is coming.
Yeah, I guess you could go. What throws me off is the fact that it's a magic weapon, right? So it could be anything, and then it could be, you know, written into the story and written in such a way that anything can become magic, you know, as long as you give it some background that's appropriate to the story. So
there are some things that have pre-existing backgrounds as a magical weapon or, you know, accessory, shall we say. As Insane Angel points out in the chat, it could be a fan, which the Japanese have quite a long history of using fans as sort of accessories. Even men, you know, like strategists are quite well known for having fans as kind of a mark of office. So you know, there are some kind of ways to look at things.
Yeah, or it could be the bed, you know, the coin operated. You put a pop, you pop a coin in there, and the bed vibrates. So you're like, you run around the secret world with this bed on your shoulders. And that's the magic right there. It magically knocks everything out when you drop it on its head.
Yes. So, you know, plenty of speculation going on there. We'll see who's right. Probably neither one of us is right when it comes to that. So, like I said, remains to be seen. Going back to issue 10, another thing that he had mentioned is that during one of the missions, we'll actually be required to make choices on what our past was, the people that we left behind, and the things that we gave up in order to be a part of the secret world. And I thought that was so pretty cool, because it's like almost it's the first time that you basically, your character goes back to, like, you know, pre-being stung by a bee.
That supports the roleplay aspect of the game, too.
Yeah, he did say that role players will actually quite enjoy this one, because it will give them a chance to build up their character's past.
But I wonder how in-depth they're going to go. Are they going to say, okay, what did you leave behind? Did you leave behind significant other, soulmate? Or are they going to, you know, like, glossary, like, you know, over, you know, like, you know, an overview of a category kind of thing. So, you know, instead of saying, did you leave behind a boyfriend, a girlfriend, you know, so that way if you are male, you could pick girlfriend or boyfriend. You know, if you're female, you can pick girlfriend or boyfriend, you know, so that way it gives you more range in your role play. Or they're just going to, you know, keep it simple by saying a significant other, loved one. Are they going to ask you if you have siblings? You know, how in depth is this going to go? Because I think at some point it's going to be really cool, you know, for a lot of people, you know, to, you know, take the math quiz. See where I went there? Check boxes now.
I can see him doing it in a way. I mean, bear in mind, we've never really had the opportunity to answer any sort of question that an NPC has asked us in the past in these in this game. So, I mean, I can see Funcom doing it in a way that kind of it could be applied to any significant other or sibling or familial member. I can see him doing it in a rather clever way where it doesn't really kind of specify one or the other, and it's just kind of an around the houses way of kind of approaching the topic.
Now, I want them to make this one time only. Like, all the choices we made, you know, the angel demon thing in the other parallel universe, whatever, one time only choices, right? I want this one to be a one time choice only. You know why? Because you're going to have the fool that's going to find out that, okay, all these choices are for a reason. Now, either the reason all points to the same ending or multiple different endings. Or, you know, you choose a couple certain different things, you'll get a higher points or whatever, and then maybe you'll get a bigger loot or a special item or a different ending. You know, I don't want that. I want all these roads to lead to the same spot. You know, so that way your character, you can play the character the way you want to play the character without missing out on any predetermined role. You know what I mean?
It would make sense.
Yeah. So that way if they say, okay, if you hit A, C, D, X, 5, and 13, you'll get like armor, like this really, really cool like in-game armor that no one else can get. But you have to hit all these sequences, you know, so like one or two people will get it, you know, the rest will get like pajamas and, you know, like, you know, during their, how they put their code. But if you have the codes, all this, it doesn't matter what you put in for your answers, you'll always get the same outcome. I think that way it'll even out, it'll make the story just.
That actually touches up on something that was asked, and it was mentioned before, being that the main story mission is now repeatable. They have announced that they will go back, as the time allows, in between content updates, and will work on the main story mission pre-Tokyo in order to make it repeatable. Now, the question is, as Xander had put it, we have already made our choices. We were asked to make a choice three times, and we've made it. When we actually repeat the story mission, will those initial decisions that we made still be valid, or will we be completely able to, you know, redo them again? So, you know, presumably toward, you know, the end of the game, well, not really end of the game, but at some point there will need to be some explanation on why we have actually been made to make those choices and what is the end result of those choices, unless the storyline just continues on and on and on and on, you know, on that level. So it would be interesting to see how would that...
In terms of like repeatable content, I mean, I can't see them going back through those those little dream sequences again. I can see the mission kind of just ending before that happens, if they have a chance to rework it anyway. I don't see the point in them allowing people to redo the dream sequences again.
But, yeah. I concur. Jolly good old chap.
Indeed.
Yes.
Indubitably.
Or as I should say, arr.
Yes, we'll come to that in a bit. Another thing that was asked of him is if he could provide some more info on the Halloween event that will be coming out this year. He did say, and get this, that they're going to be adding horror-themed makeup. Okay, now we know they've already started looking at ways of adding new hairdos. So now we have makeup. And he did say, and they reiterated that several times on the official suggestion thread on the forums. People are welcome to make their suggestions when it comes to makeup, and not only the horror-themed one, which is preferred first because of the Halloween, but also makeup in general. So they are looking at ways that they could add things that people have been asking and what we feel is lacking in the game, especially hairdos.
Long hair, proper long hair.
Yeah.
That character cool. creation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, more facial, more ways of enhancing and choosing different facial features. But that's, I don't think that's going to happen. But for now, you know, makeup and hair in general, if you have some sort of a suggestion, or you know, you see a pic that you really, really like the makeup of, posted there. They do get every single suggestion that is made there. Community team, Sesma and Tomium, are compiling those, and they don't just go like, yeah, you know what, I don't think this is going to happen, and then, you know, delete that suggestion. They literally take every single suggestion and they take it to the dev team, and then dev team actually looks at those and sees what's viable, what they have resources to do, what they have time to do, and that's when they do them.
And can we assume that if they're talking about putting in sort of makeup style things, can we assume then that this is almost a precursor to the tattooist?
They did mention that. Well, Bylos mentioned that. He did say that that's been there for a long time, and they basically need a render coder in order to finish it. And that render coders are extremely rare, and even when they do show up, someone else snatches them. So they need a good render coder in order to be able to finish that place up.
Right, fair enough.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, nothing yet when it comes to the tattoo parlor. Yeah. Render coders, if you, like, know anyone who does it, or if you do it yourself, you know, contact Funcom. They do actually have a couple of positions open. They've opened them up recently. I'm not sure if the contest is still on, if the job vacancy is still open. Yeah, do check out if you can apply for it.
They have to go through a contest to get into it?
Not contest, but just apply. That's the word that
Funcom Survivor. 12 render coders enter. One shall win. The rest of them go to Lego.
Actually, wouldn't that be just like Face Off? You know, not like Render Off, but some kind of, you know, thing about creating certain games and stuff like that, stuff in the games. I think that'd be cool. Anyway. Back to our beloved game, and one thing that brought in a lot of debate, and I mean lots of debate, we even had our own big debate on Beyond the Veil a few shows ago, is the Aegis system. Now, he did say that they have made some changes to it based on the player feedback, and that that's going to be coming out with the next update patch. Some of them. Ooh. He did say they might make some people happy, or you know, and or
no more cooldowns.
Spark more healthy debate. You know what? I think cooldowns will actually. How do I put this? I don't think they're going to be completely removed, even if they do discuss, even if they have made those changes. But those actually, that cooldown will be removed as we progress. Remember that this is just the first part of Aegis. Aegis system is not complete. There's still more things to come with that system. So as we progress and as we as we fire it up even more, as we, you know, get stronger in Aegis, that should be one of the things that is removed.
Yeah, but that does. Yeah, that may be the beginning part or the short part or whatnot part of Aegis. But the thing is, if you kill your player base right off the beginning of this new system, then it doesn't matter what you do after, kind of thing, right?
Yeah. So
there's not just it's,
you have
it's,
a point.
It's not just me, like you know, like I said, case in point, I'm just picking on Katsu. Katsu out there, lots of love, yay, Vox Arcana. Katsu hit that wall, hit the Aegis wall, and he said, okay, see you later. Maybe I'll be back for issue 10. Maybe I might come back for issue 11, but I'm for issue 9, sayonara. That's it. He hasn't completed any missions in issue 9 because he can't get around that gate. Now, I found that mod that helps me get around that gate, so I'm not that anal on it anymore. But it still puts a bad taste in some people's mouths, and other people get along very fine without it, with or without it.
Yeah, so we'll see. As always, I think, you know, we've said it before, plans change based on player feedback as well. Lots of the times, feedback that they have received has influenced you know they're creating or modifying content that's already in the game. The entire development team is not rigid in there, like, no, this is our game and we're going to make the decisions. They do listen to the feedback of their community, so this could be one of the changes that's coming our way. I guess we'll just have to wait for the next update patch, which probably will be coming with the issue. Well, actually, with the side stories. But bear in mind, there's two distinctions, right? Even though I'm just like putting it out there, even though this update patch might come with the release of side stories, the next mission pack that's supposed to come our way soon. That doesn't mean that the update to Aegis is something that you're actually going to have to purchase with the side pack. No, Bylos was actually clear on that. Those kinds of upgrades are free of charge, all right? Providing, of course, that you bought issue 9 and that you do have Aegis already. So, yes.
Yeah. Game mechanics and game fixes are always free. You have to have bought issue 9 to even get to Tokyo. So if you haven't bought issue 9, you're not going to care.
Yep.
You don't have Aegis. For those of you who have issue 9, you have access to that game mechanic that's only in Tokyo right now. So that game mechanic is free. So all game mechanics and all bug fixes and stuff like that are always free.
Yeah. So another thing as always that the community is wondering about are drop rates in scenarios, specifically when it comes to purples and yellows. And if you run scenarios even on a daily basis, you do know that purples and yellows don't drop that often, okay? Unless you're doing like elite groups every day or nightmare groups every day.
I was gonna say if at all.
Yeah, and let's face it, the majority of the game's population probably doesn't run nightmares, at least not on a regular basis. So, you know, purples do drop in elites and sometimes even in normal groups, but yellows, yeah, well, they do have a chance of dropping. Those are like the odd one out ducks, and you don't see them for months at a time, I guess. HSR DMD in our chat has posed a question. What do you think about the magic auxiliary weapon being an item stolen from someone in the Love Hotel as they sleep?
Well, that would be pretty awesome.
But the thing is, there's two things that I could see. Okay, there's one of three things that are going to happen at a Love Hotel. People are going to be up walking around, people are going to be sleeping, and we can always guess what the other thing is, right?
The whole reason why.
The whole reason why you're in the Love Hotel. You know, Baking I want to add cookies. On that. I want to add on that. Wouldn't that be awkward
this awkward moment where you have to walk into the Love Hotel and steal something from someone while they're doing bow shabow bow.
Oi,
you
know,
and put a quarter in the couch before you leave.
Open the door and just see his hairy ass bumping up and down.
Vilas did say that there will be nudity, whether or not it's going to be sexy. It's a completely different matter.
Oh my god, you're going to so see freaking, what's his name? That dude with the mask.
In beta?
Yeah. No. It's gonna be freaking in beta with freaking Kirsten Gary. Yeah, no. The mannequin's going to be on the bed, he's going to be behind, and the mask is going to be on the floor, and then we have to take the mask.
The mask will be sitting there going, oh god,
because
please,
Joel
please
did say
me.
That we get a copy of his mask.
Me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it's possible, yeah. It's definitely an interesting way of obtaining the actual weapon, so yeah.
I hope it's something fun like that. That'd just be one of those awkward moments. What do you do in this awkward moment? I think it'd be hilarious. I'd be like screenshotting the whole thing. Broadcasted, screenshot, copy and paste. Oh, that reminds me. Wouldn't it be really awkward if we find that girl's boyfriend? I suppose we did find him. But remember in Transylvania, we walk up to the hotel, the windmill, and this one chick goes to the other chick, oh, you always play game touch pee pee, you know, like touch pee pee. Yeah, anyway, wouldn't that be awkward if you found that girl or that her boyfriend
at
the hotel?
Her boyfriend's dead.
I know.
You find him, yeah, you find him.
Again, that would be even more awkwarder because he's already dead.
Well, considering, yeah, I don't know.
Working with an employee to steal from a client. Yeah, that would be kind of weird. I think that would be the best part of issue 7, A Dream to Kill. Because then you'd actually feel like a spy going into a love hotel. You know, that would be more of a spy than what we had in that spy thing. Issue 7, yeah.
Yes, so like I said, there will definitely be some spinning crazy suggestions being made by the entire community of the game. So yeah, this is just one of them. It's a pretty good one. Saying in chat, in response to what you said, exactly, working with an employee to steal from a client. Yes. So yeah, definitely looking forward to that one.
We already have the already been used underwear, so it's not that.
Yeah, we already have the underwear and socks, and
complete,
we don't want any more,
skid
please
marks.
No more. One thing we do want is more purple and yellow augments. And what they said is, don't fret, we do have a plan. It might just take a while to put that plan into practice, but we heard you loud and clear. So what they did say is that as they add more scenarios, and that they will add more interesting ways of actually getting augments. And according to what Bylos had said, there's a scenario or two coming our way in the next few issues. Okay, so yeah, we shall definitely be looking forward to that and seeing what the augments are.
What does the augment say? Craft me now. Craft me now.
Maybe the release of occult disturbance and the escape?
Mm-hmm.
At this point, I don't even care what it is, as long as it's something, a different play map. You see, this is something that they have to hard code for the scenarios and the augment system to thrive and be worth it, especially for players. This is something that have to hard code, because they went from the beginning, it used to be issues, okay? Now it's issues and side stories, which kind of drives me bananas, because I'd just rather it be issues. You know, you just end up paying like three times as much, like you're getting three issues. Like, okay, issue nine, then you pay issue 9 for the same price as you paid for issue 7, and then love stories is the same price as issue 9, which was the same price as issue 7, I think. And then the new one's going to be the same price as the last Love Stories, which was the same price as the issue, which was the same price as the last issue. So therefore...
You're doing my head in.
For therefore, I've just paid for three issues and only got one issue and two loves, I think.
Well, no, the side stories are cheaper.
Well, okay, yeah, yeah.
Because they're not a full issue. About 900 something, right?
How much... Like, that's what I'm saying. Someone looked that up while I'm ranting.
I'm looking at it now. The... For a subscriber, that is, the issues are 1080, and the side stories packs were both 864, so they are less.
Yeah, so they're 960 probably full price, because for GMs it's 768.
So it's 100 points less.
No, it's 240 points less. The regular price for without like any discounts, the regular price of an issue is 1200 points. Okay, so the side stories were 960, so they were 240 points cheaper.
Okay, well, either way, like I said, we had the issues before. Issues usually bring new game mechanics and a buttload of stories, right? Now, it seems that issues have switched to new game mechanics and your main story. I'll say that the main story line, right? And then the side stories are exactly what they are, side stories. They're not the main story, so if you just want to play your character's main mission, do that. Who cares about the rest, right? And so, basically, you pay twice as much as you normally would. If you get the whole thing, let's just get... We'll leave it at that. We'll say you play twice as much as before to get the whole thing. But I think, okay, if this is going to be their new way of marketing, have the issue with the new mechanics and the new main story, and then come out with two additional side story packs, each that you purchase as you want, right? I think that they should be, you know, with that, they should add to the checklist. Okay, has to be at least one scenario in with each issue. A new scenario per issue, you know, that's related to the main arc or the play area you're in or a story. So that way, you know, it'll keep people interested in the scenarios. Because this is the funny thing. I hate grinding. I really hate it. I despise grinding. And I quit games that make me grind, right? And then I started playing The Secret World. Then I found out, hey, grinding can be fun for 5 months. And then I'm back to, I hate grinding. I've gone into a scenario probably once or twice in the past 5 months. I got to the point where I've got so many stupid blues, or not blues, greens. I have never got a blue. I got one purple. I've never even knew there was a gold. And at the time, I was show host, so I should have known that. But I never even knew there was gold. So I always got really, really crappy, stupid drops. And that just killed the scenario system for me. So I never invested any more into it. But if they give me new locations, then that grind doesn't seem so bad. You know, if I can go to four areas.
Yeah, it's not new grind. It's like playing new content that also provides you with, you know, something that you can use, be it augments.
So you can only do, you can do a scenario every day, right? So, you know, you do the first three that you already hate, which I already hate them. I think my favorite out of the three of them probably is the mansion, because I love going upstairs. And then after that, you do the new one, right? And then the next day, they're off cooldown. Okay, I have to get through these three that I hate. And then we can play the new one, you know? And then as it keeps going, then maybe I'll just not stop playing the ones that I hate and play the new ones.
Yeah, no, I agree. They've left 10 months in between, scenarios. considering we only had one objective that we could just pick initially, and that was it. Yes, there were three locations, but still, after a while, it does become a grind. And I used to grind them every day, sometimes 2-3 times, hitting those Venetian exemptions, helping out other players, Cabal, non-Cabal mates, go through them and get the augments. And, you know, they're also very good for APs, for someone who hasn't filled up their wheel just yet. So, you know, you pop a slushy and before you know it, 1 hour has passed and you do kind of, you do like 2 or 3 of them. You end up doing like a little bit of the third one within that hour. So, yeah, it's interesting to them. I could do it with my eyes closed. So it was like, after a while, I just couldn't stand them anymore. And I just completely abandoned them until recently. I just started doing them again. So, yeah, I agree with absolutely everything you're saying.
Well, it's just like the dailies. Like, we used to do the dailies religiously up to a point where we could do the Egypt dailies within 5 minutes. And we had this running path. You pick up all the missions at the same time, and you just run around the map. Literally, you run to one side and then back, and then you're done. And by that time,
in a circle.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you do that in the Shadowy Forest as well, so, yeah. Yeah, but no, this is actually that. What we're talking about now brings me to the next thing that was discussed. Bylos was asked about the possibility of another Golden Weekend, you know, being released in game, or, you know, special weekends like we used to have quite often while waiting on Tokyo. And he did say that they usually are looking at releasing these type of events, special weekend events, when they know that the space, the time between content updates will be a bit longer. So they basically throw out a special weekend to get people back into the game and just to give them something else to do other than their, you know, normal daily routines. So being that there was quite a lot of updates recently, they have not really considered doing any kind of special weekend like that, but that they are open to it, and that if players actually want it, take it to the forums and let it be known that you would like to have a special weekend, a golden weekend, maybe, you know, with extra black bullion and stuff like that.
Extra golden shower.
No.
I know Gig was going there. He was going to say it. He said it like for 2 weeks during the last one. He'll put his golden shoe on with his golden boots and he'll go and have a golden shower next to the golden statue.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the good thing about their events is that the only thing, they're already in-game, so Funcom, all they need to do is just basically flip the switch and the event is on. So if you as the community would like to see these kind of special weekends in-game, even in between updates, do mention it on the forum, see how many people would be interested. It would definitely be something to do. What do you guys think? Would you be up for having a golden weekend?
I'm an altaholic. I could always use one.
That's a nice way of putting it. I'm an altaholic.
I suppose I really don't care either which way, because we had like 1 year of the Whispering Tide event, which kind of killed me for events, because it was like this uber slow burning that burned forever event. And like inside those events, you had all these other really cool events that usually made everyone forget about the Whispering Tide event. Mm-hmm. And then whenever golems end up coming around, you know, lag usually ends up, you know, spilling over places where it even shouldn't even be. Like, you know, random golems running around and all of a sudden, boom, you're lagging in Polaris for some reason.
Yeah, that did happen even with the anniversary, where they actually did improve on the frame rates when it came to golem fights. But there would be times that you would be stuck on a machine tyrant and you're just lagging out, like completely lagging out. And everybody's like, oh my God, is someone fighting a golem? Or, you know, during the Flappy raid, is it raid time?
Yeah, and you know this is true too, because it was directly linked, because Flappy was every 3 hours. And if you just happened to be in a dungeon when that third hour popped up, oh my God, all hell would break loose and it's directly related to those events.
Yep.
I have to say, one thing I really loved about this game, and I still continue to really love, are those big events like the anniversary event and things like that, where it brings the community together and kind of everyone's working on the same thing. What I would like to see if they did want to bring that back, I think the one thing that drives those events is things like the rare like clothing pieces. That's certainly what drove the Hell event. Everyone trying to get the rare clothing pieces. And that's what keeps people coming back. I would definitely like to see them do something like that again, but they'd need to change the loot table. Because obviously if they just did the same thing with the same loot, no one would do it.
Yeah, I think what you're saying would be cool. Like, even some things that are slated for the item store, or maybe that they have for maybe to be released as item of the month, which, by the way, they do need to be changed. Because if you want people to subscribe to the game, you need to put in a lot more interesting items than that. So far, what they've had is mostly items in the item store that you actually have to buy for cash. Those have been getting some attention and they've released quite a bit, especially for female characters. But still, I like your suggestion, and I think it's been said many times before, if you do have an event, what will get people to use the term to even grind them would be getting those special pieces, just like the Tokyo Golem was actually giving the white Jingasu hat and kimono and hakama. Yeah.
Oh, and I missed that too, and I wanted it.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So, yeah, those kind of things, like, give some sort of exclusivity to it. You know, especially if you can't get it in any other way in the game. And it's like a status symbol. Yeah, I was there at that particular time and age.
Precisely.
I fought the blob in the blob one.
Yeah. So, yeah, basically, yeah, that's it when it comes to special weekends. If you really, really want them, post it on the forums for the dev team to see it, to see the feedback from the community, whether or not they would actually like to have them. And don't forget, if you have any makeup and hair suggestions, especially horror-themed, for the upcoming Halloween, do post those.
You know something? I think the guys get gypped when it comes to the item store. You know why?
Yeah, I know.
Because I was just thinking about it, like, you know, when girls get clothing, not only do they always get way more stuff, they do, let's face it, they do, but, you know, even if you put it on the one-to-one merit, they get a dress. The dress covers the chest and the bottom, so basically it's a bottom and a top. Mind you, okay, not always can you just equip the top and or the bottom, you have to equip both, but here's the trade-off. Guys usually just get shirts. Or a jacket.
Are you saying that you want to wear a dress, Sandra?
No, I'm just saying, you know, like, they get something for the top and bottom. We just get a top, you know. We never get nothing from the bottom, you know.
Yeah, but we can only use it as a one piece.
I know what you mean.
I'm just saying it's one piece on each side.
I'm just saying simple semantics, right? Like, you know, you get a top and a bottom. We just get a top. But then again, even if you break it down to just bare minimum.
But we don't get a top and a bottom. I know it seems that way, but we only get one clothing piece and it goes under chest.
I am not daft.
I know this, okay? It's a one piece. You know, you have to have the top and the bottom. I'm just saying, how come they don't come out with some kind of cool thing where guys wearing t-shirt and shorts? It's a one piece, t-shirt and shorts. You know, something new, something different. And if you don't like the shirt, you can put a jacket on, and then you have a t-shirt and shorts with a jacket. You know, I'm just saying, you know, like, we always just get shirts. Yeah, it's shirt, yeah. shirt. Who cares?
Yeah. Shirts or jackets, yeah. No, I get your point. I think, like, in this last... let's see what the new items of the month were. Or rather, what was released in the store. What we have is, for the ladies, there was a whole bunch of dresses. 2, 4, 6, 7 dresses, I believe. And only 2 of them were absolutely identical, but slightly different color. Okay. Now, we also got a whole bunch of accessories, rings, and just those special bracelet ring type things. And then on the other side of the spectrum,
we got a shirt.
Yeah, you guys got a loose denim shirt that's available in 14 different colors. That, you know, yeah.
You can sweat the rainbow.
We did mention it before that a lot of the times it seems that guys drew a short straw when it comes to not outfits, but pieces of clothing that are being put in the item store. Ladies got, I guess, in a way, because ladies before did not have these kind of dresses. Okay, we didn't. We had a shirt or some sort of t-shirt, and then, you know, what you could pair it up with maybe a skirt and some sort of bottoms, trousers, pants, call it whatever. We didn't actually have dresses like this, people were taking up to the forums all like crazy. We want dresses. And now, on a few occasions, we've actually had a whole bunch of dresses like dumped in the item store. And yes, they were very, very successful. So I'm just thinking, maybe, you know, there's more female characters in the game. People are buying those more, so it's more cost effective for them, for Funcom as a development team, or, you know, as a business, to put these female items in.
Now I feel like I'm in Star Trek Online and they're treating me like a Klingon. You know what I mean? Where's my Klingon content? Kapla! You know, I heard that for like 3. Heard that for 3 years. Where's my Klingon content? Where's my Klingon content? And then they come out with a big patch, and then they gave them Klingon 1 to 50, and they're still going on. Where's my Klingon content? They're like, well, where's everyone else's content, too? The Romulans and the Federation. But the thing is, I honestly think that there are not so much more girls than guys in the Secret World. I think there's more female toons in the Secret World.
Yeah, that's what I think.
And that's the cash cow. That's like, hey, there's more of you, so we're going to put some cool stuff for you. You're going to buy stuff. And then, like, the guy, like, you know, the 5 guys over in the corner that are actually guys, well, except for that random chick that pretends to be a guy, will just have a shirt. Maybe we could all buy the same shirt together and we all could be shirt buddies.
I can't even buy that shirt. That's the funny part.
I missed the old days. Back in my day, back when the game first came out, we used to get an outfit of the month. Yes, a one-piece outfit of the month where you could slot different pieces, but it was really cool. Remember what was it? High society? No, it's that steampunk outfit or that yeah, punk but outfit.
It's actually a fact that at the very early stages, or rather at the beginning stages of the game, what was released, especially in the first, say, up to maybe 10 months ago, usually what would come out is male and female outfit. They would come out in tandem. So guys would get male version, female characters would get the female version of that same outfit. And that was pretty cool. Now we're actually seeing more diversifying, whereas girls can get dresses, guys can get... Oh, by the way, we also got some watches that I really don't understand why the guys didn't get them.
Oh, good for you. You got freaking watches. I hope you can tell the time when I kick your ass. Remember back in my day, we could buy the Quantum Protocol, and it'd be a guy's and a girl's outfit.
Yeah, so, I mean, look at this. There's skeletal bracelet with rings. There's spiked and studded fingerless gloves. I don't see why the guys couldn't get that same thing. Stainless steel chronograph wristwatch, you know, left or right. And then the black one. There's a whole bunch of stuff that could have also been considered.
Are you racist? Are you got something against the black one?
Oh, shut up.
Hey, even black watches need some love.
It says so. Black Ion Chronograph wristwatch. Because it is black.
I'm writing to Funcom right now. I want a white Chronoton. What was it again?
Oh my god.
I'm joking.
Yeah, but I hope you get my point that there's items that have been released for female tunes which so easily could have gone for the males.
Somebody's mic
as well.
Is open.
Meanwhile, while we're broadcasting from the eye of the storm, remember back when we got the Crypto Turbulence outfit? Or the Death Row, or the Keepers of the Nile.
Yeah, so the dresses actually that ladies have received are pretty cool. And I especially love three of them. And yes, I'm kind of short on points. So I have to wait for some more points to get in September. You know, as my stipend, so that I can actually buy some. But I'm saving these ones that I got in August for the side stories that are supposed to come out. Yep, I haven't even the content.
I haven't even finished issue 9, let alone even do the first side. I bought the first side stories. I haven't even finished it. I haven't even started it yet.
Yeah. So, yes. Just to kind of wrap up the live stream thing, there's a few odds and ends that were talked about. One, when it came to requesting something, someone mentioned the Revenant pet, and we're basically told, yeah, don't keep your hopes up, because Revenants only manifest where violent murders have happened. So in Bylos's opinion, it'd be weird to have one of them following you around, even though they might technically look into, you know, how many people you've killed and, you know, this and that. So, but yeah, basically the message is, yeah, don't keep your hopes up.
I have murdered so much in the game. I deserve.
I wanted to say, you think you deserve one.
I'm going to write Funcom. Back in my day, I could write that Funcom. No. But seriously, now, though, a little cute mini Revenant pet. You know, like, take the Revenant and, like, literally just, like, squish them down, like, you know, to a quarter of the size. Then make it kind of like those, you know, those weird little dolls that you get. You know what I mean? I forget what you would call it, but basically you get the, you know, the normal doll, which is like, you know, like 4 feet tall or something like that. But if you shrink it right down, it kind of looks like its arms and its legs are like stubby, but in fat, and its head's like stubby and fat too. But it's really, anyway, a little weird little Revenant thing following me around would be cool. You know, I think that I really want combat pets. I have always been irked because I didn't get to do the very first End of Times thing, and that's when a lot of people got that Akab attack pet. Well, not attack pet, the Akab pet that randomly attacks things. Now, I have the Orochi Ball, and yeah, he shoots freaking laser beams, you know, but it doesn't do anything, right?
Cassius said it.
But the Akkad will knock shit over, you know, and it actually helps out, you know, probably in the field at some point. But I would really like attack pets, you know, something that'll, you know, not attack all the time, but maybe actually do random stuff every now and then. You know what I mean? Something to help you out in combat. I think that'd be cool.
I never saw my Akkad knock anything over.
Oh, it will.
Yeah, it'll randomly charge things with NPCs, sort of other people's pets and stuff like that. It may knock them down every now and again.
Yeah, I remember the first time they had them. We were in the Crusades. We were doing like something on the stage of Crusades, and all of a sudden this random Akkad pet just went and bombed the whole cast. Knocked us all off.
Yes. Another thing that was asked, if we could maybe have a pachinko game. And Bylos did say that they actually made a pachinko flash file where you could actually play the game and get a result. But he wasn't sure what had happened to it and why it didn't make it into the game at the time of the live stream. So if you have more questions about that or would really, really like to see it in the game, again, take it to the forums and use the suggestion thread. Now, when it comes to factions, one thing that we were told is that... we will actually see new factions we have never seen before sometime after Tokyo. Yay. It wasn't elaborated on, but it was said that it will be sometime after Tokyo. However, the new factions that we've seen in Venice will be seen well before then. So, yay! Now, when it comes to new items in the store, when it comes to clothing items specifically, I hope that you guys noticed that there's been a lot of new stuff that's been released in Bungie department store in London. In case you know you're one of those players who just buys quite a bit because you have nothing else to do with your pack, so it's like, what the hell, I can afford it, I'm gonna get it. then you'll probably notice a whole bunch of stuff that was released. I have noticed it before, but I didn't really think that it was new because I didn't see it being specifically singled out. Perhaps I've missed it. If I did, my apologies. We're bringing it to your attention now. So in case you haven't already, do go and check it out.
My Arachi orb just shot your Akkad in the head, in the eye. Now he has three eyes, not four. And he looks really cute when he stands on his hind toes.
Yeah.
Now, he does look cute, but, you know, in game, they are a nuisance. Yeah. It's a new month in game, September. Well, not just in game, but overall, it's September. And at the beginning of every calendar month, we, as subscribers and grandmasters, receive a free item of the month. Now, for September, we actually received two Nefarious Captain's Hat in black and gold and a hen hook in silver. You can actually see, if you zoom on Gigabyte, or Xander. I think, I'm not sure if Xander has the hook as well, but Gigabyte does. So you can see it directly on them. They do look pretty mean.
I refuse to wear the hook.
Well,
that's going to make going to the bathroom very awkward.
Yeah.
Only if you're left-handed.
Well, think about it. How that is why Freddy Krueger is so ticked off all the time, right? Seriously, dude has problems.
Yeah, constipation, one of them. Now, those are probably being released in honor of Talk Like a Pirate Day, which is on September 19th. Because I think last year we actually had a whole outfit that was released. So, you know.
And we have it. It's in the store.
Yep.
It's sold after.
So,
I was sorely tempted to get it with the point stipend, but I need to save those for the packs.
Yeah. So, yeah, definitely. And Spirit Toro was released last month. I guess, you know, it was a free, actually, item. I'm trying to bring it up now. There it is.
Nice box.
Yes. and skulls flying around. Yeah, so quite a bit has been released in the item store in the past week. You know, you probably, if you're like us, you might, you know, wait to get the points, or, you know, you might have some extra cash lying around and you might wait, you might not wait, and you might just buy everything, or you might just have lots of points and like a lot of the items. If you're like Xander, who, you know, is sad that there's no such a variety of clothing released for guys, you know, you could start a female tomb and then, you know, you'll have a whole bunch.
Or, Pilgrim, all you have to do there is circle the chuck wagons, Pilgrim, and buy Ballistic Veil. Yes, Ballistic Veil, now in the item store, designed by that guy, you know, that John Wayne gun-tootin' fun-loving Xander dude.
I broke everybody. Really?
All you need to play this game effectively is the Ballistic Veil outfit.
And you gotta ask yourself one question. Do you have Ballistic Veil? What do you?
Punk.
Punk.
Well, definitely one place where you can wear that, even though you won't be seen in it, is PvP. It just looks really, really awesome. And while on the subject of PvP, last week we brought to your attention the fact that there was a PvP event happening in September, and yet again the community was being asked to vote on the style of the PvP event. Gigabyte, yeah. You want to go for it?
Yeah, we had a number of choices. I believe we went through them last week as to what each one was. Just to go over them again, we had Battlestar Galactica style boxing, Master and Servants, Tag Teams, Random Weapon of the Month, Manhunt, Big Game Hunter, Seven Deadly Sins, and Death by Default. The two last ones there are quite interesting. The Seven Deadly Sins was the inner wheel abilities only, and the Death by Default is the faction default decks only, which is quite interesting. As I went through what each of those are last episode, in terms of the results for this poll, in third place was the Random Weapon of the Month with 16% of the vote. Seven Deadly Sins was second with 20%, and the Death by Default won out with 41% of the vote. So that's going to be the way they go.
It's going to be interesting to see which faction comes out on top.
Definitely.
Because this will be about the factions, because it's there's these decks are faction specific. So yeah, definitely going to be interesting to see how well they do.
I mean, speaking from my own personal experience, I mean, as I've said on previous shows, I use the Paladin deck almost exclusively when I'm soloing. And I find it to be extremely effective. So be quite interesting to see how people go with those.
Definitely. We still don't have any word on when that PvP event will be taking place. As soon as it's advertised on the forums, we will also let you guys know. We'll also tweet it out. So do follow us on Twitter as well, @BeyondTSW. Now, there's some more events scheduled for September. We've already mentioned it before, but just to quickly recap what they are. Two are from tswdb.com, and they've announced two new events. One is called Lethal Investigation, and the other one is also a PvP event called, it's going to be happening in Stonehenge. They will take place on September 14th. So in 10 days time, it's going to be starting out fairly early for those living in EDT or ESD, 6 a.m. in the morning and 10 a.m. GMT. So European time, probably 11 a.m. Or rather noon, I think it's Central European time. It will be happening on Arcadia Dimension, so you can always join in game chat channel TSWDB and ask to meet up on someone on Arcadia if you're not already on it. Then we also have the Jackapalooza event as well, right?
Yeah, so right now it's on the forums. If you go to the forums, and it's hosted by Nine Swords Cabal and Gridstream Productions. When? It's Saturday the 20th of September 2014. Yay! And it's at 19 GMT and 2130 GMT. Where is it? It's going to be at Jack's Tree. It's at 2070 by 120 in Kingsmith, and the server will be Arcadia. Music, competitions, and fun. So come be a part of TSW's biggest human pitcher and show the community that we're ready for Jack to come out and play with us.
Yep.
Creepy.
We want the Halloween to come early.
Here comes Halloween. Here comes Halloween.
Yeah. And with that, we are going to be wrapping up tonight's show. Hopefully...
Hey! You can't wrap up the show yet.
Why not? You scared me. What did I miss?
That guy! Hey, new guy! Where's the coffee? It's been, what, we've done the whole show and we haven't even got one coffee yet from the new guy? So, like, what is this? Did we even interview this new guy? Like, what's up with that? What games has he played? What has he done?
Well, other than configure your TeamSpeak server, I don't know.
Like, what other games have you played? We want to know. Inquiring minds want to know. Hey, new guy, what other stuff have you done, huh?
Well, let's see. I've done...
What's your cred,
Star Wars.
Man?
I've done Star Trek.
You've done it. Ooh, kinky.
Well, yeah, I've played about any MMO out there that's got any kind of decent investment in graphics. Aeon, Lineage, City of
Minecraft.
Heroes is gone. Are you kidding?
Hey.
Notice I didn't bother listing World of Warcraft. I still consider it to be nothing but a cartoon.
Wow.
Yeah,
well. That's gonna cause some controversy.
Hey, yeah. see what I did there? Wow! He just got it. You can still see the light turn on. Click. Okay, go ahead.
Well, those are the games that I've played. I've played about everything out there that has any decent investment in graphics. Terra, I've played that one. I don't keep a running list of how many. They're just, it's just out there.
So in other words, you've been around a block.
A few times.
A few times.
Any, a few times, went around, and then came back.
Any, like, single-player games? Like, when did you start gaming? Were you a late bloomer?
No, I've been playing games since...
You're knee-high to a grasshopper?
Let's see. I had to graduate high school, get my own job, be able to buy my first PlayStation, and from I started off with, I can't even remember the name of it. It was the one where you played a vampire chick. It's like a Street Fighter game.
You mean Dead Rain?
No.
Blood Rain.
Probably. But that was a long time ago. I also got into the Final Fantasy series. Enjoyed that. I think probably my favorite is Final Fantasy VII.
Yes. I'm currently replaying that right now.
Yeah, it's good stuff. I've also played Parasite Eve and any other game like that. I've played Resident Evil. The first one, that was definitely an experience with the way that they tweaked the camera so you can't move them, so that you have to get scared right out of your chair as soon as something jumps around the corner.
He tinkles a little bit.
Just a little bit.
So what keeps you in TSW? You've mentioned before that you didn't have a cabal, but now is it the content that's keeping you occupied? Is it the social aspect of the game where you meet other players and you talk to them and do stuff as a group?
The final straw that keeps me here, the thing that makes the difference, the thing that I always found attractive by the game in the first place was the way that they run the missions, the fact that you have to use your brain to complete the mission. Even breaking out of the game to do a little bit of research here and there, that I thought that was fascinating. But as fascinating as that was, I didn't have anybody to share that experience with. Not until I'd returned to the game and started finding people that I could run with. It was really cemented when I found Beyond the Veil and let me see, my late cabal. They're gone now. But yeah, it's been a whole lot better. I definitely enjoy the content and the way that you can interact, the scope, the fact that it leaves the game and makes you have to find stuff out.
So what's your favorite content that you've played in the game so far?
Oh, that's an easy one. I enjoy issue 7.
Yeah. Yeah, you do tend to do it quite often, don't you?
just every 3 days. On each character. Yeah, on each character.
Yeah.
I can't get the song out of my head. Yeah, if you can space it up by 1 day, you could literally do it every day, just on a different character.
I have a third character in the works, so that can be possible.
So therefore, you start off Monday on Dew Drops, and Tuesday on, you know, I don't know, Farts Differ, Wednesday on Joe Blow, Thursday back on Dew Drops, you know, you just keep going like that. It'd be like an endless loop of, hello, I walk into empty.
See, you got it stuck in your head, too.
Hey, we had that song stuck for months after we initially heard it.
Yeah.
It was, like, so creepy and so good. Yeah, issue 7 is still my favorite issue that I've played. You know, even more favorite than Last Train to Cairo.
Yeah, the only song I've heard that's even remotely like that song was called Aura, which was a theme song in Die Hack Sign, an anime.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Yeah, that one was about as creepy, too.
Yeah. Yeah, so for those of you guys out there who might be looking for a cabal, you're always welcome to join ours, Beyond the Veil. We have all three chapters. We are on Engine, so you can also fill out the recruitment sheet there. It's Beyond T... Let me just get so I don't get it wrong.
Remember, that's beyond T,
T-S-W.
I don't get it wrong.
Beyond TSW.engine.com. So you can always join us. Our TeamSpeak is available as well for all the Cabal members. If you do see us in game, do send us a tell. If you need any help or have any questions or you just need advice, you can always contact us in game.
And don't forget the in-game chat channel. Ooh.
Yes, that's right. It's called Simply Beyond. So you can use that in order to join it and talk to us directly via that channel. Another two very popular channels that are a player run are called Sanctuary and Noobmares. Sanctuary, like if you are not Nightmare ready yet or need a lot of advice, or not even a lot, if you're just like chatting in general about missions and the game, want to reach out to a lot of other players as well, that's a very good one called Sanctuary. Noobmares is for those people who have started playing Nightmare Dungeons, so you know, fresh out from fighting the gatekeeper, you want to get into those dungeons, and then, you know, you go to looking for group and they're all asking for experienced and geared players. Don't fret. Don't panic. There's a place for you in Noobmares. Players in Noobmares channel do understand that they might die quite a bit if you're a new tank, if you're a new healer, just starting out. They will help you with advice. You know, don't be too shy about saying, hey, I'm a new tank. Would anyone mind helping me get a group and, you know, do Polaris and stuff like that? They are always welcoming of new players.
So holy shit! Give
those a chance.
That was cool. My lycanthrope was like sitting in front of me. Those of you in the live stream are going to see it here in a second. He was just like totally standing in front of me. And then like Giggs and a Cobb just like was totally being a dick and like walked up behind him and then did the whole dash forward. And my lycanthrope just like totally like moonwalked, backflip over his ass. And now he's behind me, like, you know, scratching his, yeah.
But he's still. Scared. He got scared by the Akab, and now he's hiding behind your back.
But he totally backflipped, though. He didn't get knocked down. He just, like, totally, like, ah, whatever. And remember, for those of you that are having problems in TSW, just keep calm and walk in empty.
Nice. All right, so that's it for tonight's show. Hopefully you heard some, you know, things that you may not have heard before. If you have any comments, feel free to email them to us at beyondtsw@gmail.com.
And any complaints be free to hashtag blame Tomian.
That's right, because we blame Tomian for everything in this game. His own suggestion. So hashtag blame Tomian.
A cop totally tried to like hurt my lycanthrope. I'm totally tweeting him on Twitter.
There should be like a pet off, you know.
That just sounded so wrong on so many different levels.
Okay, all right.
It doesn't matter what I said tonight. That totally beat everything. Okay, so.
All right. Okay. So before I, you know.
Hashtag blame Antita.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone. See you next week at Thursday, 7 p.m. EST, right here on twitch.tv/HoloSweetMedia. Until then, Derp. Have a great time and enjoy the game. See ya.
See ya.
You know, like this week's episode is totally going to be called Beyond the Fail.
Whatever.
Tonight's broadcast of Beyond the Veil, a production of Holosuite Media. Join us next week at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and be sure to check holosuitemedia.com and iTunes for our remastered shows and more. You can follow us on Twitter at BeyondTSW. If you have any questions or comments, please send us an email to BeyondTSW@gmail.com, and join us next week at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for another episode of Beyond the Veil, a place where hilarity always ensues. Thank you.